Did you get? I sent you the recording yesterday. Did you get it?
I got it this morning.
Did the recording come through?
I haven't listened.
Oh, I hope it. Because I recorded, because Nachum wasn't here yesterday, so I recorded it on my MP3. And I tried to send it to you. I hope it came through. Okay, so we're learning very briefly. Let's just recap what we saw yesterday. We said there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda and the Chachamim whether the Chalil is Deicha Shabbos or not Deicha Shabbos. Rabbi Yosef explained that they're only discussing the Chalil of a Korban. They're not discussing the Chalil of a Simchas Beis HaSheiva. The Chalil of the Korban might well be part of the Avodah, an indispensable part of the Avodah. If it is indeed part of the Avodah, well then in turn it's Deicha Shabbos. What decides whether it is or isn't part of the Avodah? This was the big statement, the big Chiddush of Rabbi Yosef. It all boils down to what in fact is the Ikar Shir. What is the Ikar Shir with a Korban? Is the Ikar Shir with a Korban the musical instruments? In which case the music is an integral part of the Avodah and it's Deicha Shabbos. Or is the main part of the music not the musical instruments but rather the singing? And if it's the singing, then the musical instruments, remember that Loshon in Rashi? Levesumi. It's just like the Besomim, it spices it up, but it's not the main part. So Rabbi Yosef, that's the Machlokes. As opposed to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, over there, certainly the Avodah does not incorporate the musical instruments. There, what is the Avodah? The Nesachim, pouring the water. Certainly there, the musical instruments is just to add simcha, but it's not an integral part of the Avodah, in which case it's definitely not Deicha Shabbos. That was stage one. Stage two, Rabbi Yosef says, how do I know that there is indeed this machlokes? Who told me, where did I derive this, that there is a machlokes, whether the Ikar Shira is bekli or bepeh? So he said, I got this from another machlokes. Because as a machlokes, also Rabbi Yosef Yehuda and the Chachamim, if you made a kli shoris, which is one of the utensils in the Beis HaMikdash, from wood, is it kosher or pasul? Now, everybody agrees that one of the musical instruments in the Beis HaMikdash was called the abuva, and that was made out of wood. So maybe that should set a precedent for all other kli shoris. Says Rabbi Yosef, well, if there's a machlokes about it, l'chayra, that indeed is the machlokes. If you hold the Ikar Shira is bekli, then all those musical instruments are categorized as what? Kli shoris, because they're an integral part. And if I see it can be made from wood, so obviously that's setting a precedent, kli shoris can be made from wood. But if you hold that the Ikar Shira is not bekli, but rather the pear, so the fact that the abuva was made from wood is not a proof that kli shoris can be made from wood, because musical instruments are not kli shoris. So Sefer says Rabbi Yosef, that's where I see that there's a machlokes about whether Ikar Shira is bekli or bepeh. Stage three, the Gemara turned around and said, no, that's not a proof. Why is that not a proof? Because who says that's a machlokes? Whether you can or can't learn from the abuva, it could be everybody agrees, everybody might well agree that what? That the Ikar Shira is bekli. However, one is efsha, and one is efsha. What does that mean? One is efsha, one is efsha. The abuva had to be made from wood. Why did it have to be made from wood?
Sound.
Because of the sound. Remember, they once tried, Rashi said, they once tried to make it out of gold and it didn't work. So there you have no choice. But all other kli shoris, it's efsha. What does that mean, it's efsha? You can make it out of metal, gold, silver. So therefore, you cannot derive possible from impossible. The abuva was impossible. There was no other choice. It could not have been made from any other material. The only option on the table was wood. So you cannot therefore say, at least according to one opinion, that that's therefore a precedent that all kli shoris can be made from wood. No, only kli shoris where there are no other options. But if there are other options, then you have no proof. Therefore, says the Gemara, maybe that's the machlokes, whether you can derive efsha from efsha, or you cannot derive efsha from efsha. But who said that the machlokes is based on whether ikashira is bekli or ikashira is bepeh? Maybe everybody agrees that ikashira is bekli. The question is whether you can derive any principle from there, given the fact that there is efsha. That's the machlokes. So that's where we left off, because now the Gemara brings a further refutation. V'ibois Eimer, the first word on the line is Efsha. Says the Gemara, V'ibois Eimer, alternatively, you could learn that this machlokes about whether you can have klishoris made out of wood or not is in fact based on a different discussion completely. It could well be, V'ibois Eimer, if you could suggest, the Kula Alma, all parties agree, the Ikka, Shira, Bepeh. It may well be that all Shira is Bepeh, V'ein Donin Efsha Mishi'i Efsha, and you anyway cannot learn the possible from the impossible. In other words, the Abuva is no proof whatsoever. Firstly, Ikka Shira is Bepeh, it's not even a Klei Shores. Even if it was, you cannot derive anything from there. So what is the Machlokes? If we have a machlokes, whether clay shores can be made out of wood or they cannot be made out of wood, do you know what the machlokes is? It's nothing to do with abuva. It's nothing to do with ikashira, bepeh, or bekli. V'hacha. So we remember, we made a hakdomi yesterday. There is a principle called klal, uprat, uklal, and there's a principle called ribui, umiut, uribui. So remember the example we gave yesterday, Bavrom? So I say, Rabbi Yosef, please feel free to come into my house and have some food. Take some oranges. Enjoy the food. So I began saying, take some food. That's a klal. I didn't specify which food. That's a klal. Then all of a sudden I said, enjoy the oranges. That's a prat. But then I said, enjoy the food. So I've gone back to a klal. Klal u prat u klal. What do we do with that? That's one halachic principle. And then we have similar, that instead of looking at it as a klal or prat or klal, we have a ribui, expansive, miut, exclusive, and then ribui, expansive. So it's the same setup, but instead of referring to it as a klal or prat or klal, we refer to it as a ribui, miut, and a ribui, and we end up with different conclusions. So now let's go back to our story. Says the Gemara V'hocha, the last word on the line, B'meilaf Menoira, deriving from the Menoira, B'klole Uproti, are we looking at it as rules and details? Oy beribuye omiute, rather expansive or exclusive, komiflagi. That is the discussion. How are we going to look at the Menoira? Now, what's unique about the Menoira? So let's go slowly. Rabbi Dorish, Klalei Uproti, Rabbi Yosi by Yehuda Dorish, Ribuye Umiute. If you look at the Psukim of Menoira, we're going to see there is a general rule, there is a Prat, or a Miut, and then a general rule again. So do we view that as a klal or prat or klal, or as a ribui miut or ribui? Says the Gemara. Rabbi Dorish, klolei uprate. It says, va'asisa menoiras. You should make a menoira. Now, does it say what you should make it out of? At the moment, it doesn't.
No.
So at that stage, it sounds like, make it out of wood, gold, whatever you like. Okay. So, Vasisas Menoiras Klal, quote unquote, Klal. Then it says, Zohov Tahir, quote unquote, that is a Prat. In the beginning, it says, make a Menoiras, make a candelabra. Doesn't say which material. Later on it says, specifically, Zahav Tair, specifically out of gold and not wood. But then Miksha Te'ase Hamanoira, quote unquote, it says the Manoira, which we made Miksha from one homogeneous piece, but it doesn't say Zav there. It doesn't say gold. So what does that sound like? Chazar V'kolal. So once again, it's a general rule. So it's a rule, a detail, and a rule. What's that called? Klal uprat uklal. What is the halacha of a klal uprat uklal? I ato don elo ke'ein haprat. You can only be don, you can only judge similar to the prat. Similar to the prat. We'll see what this means in a second. So in the opinion of Rebbe, how are we viewing these words? Va'osiso menoiras zohov tohir miksho te'ose ha-menoira. Three parts to that posuk. The way Rebbe views it is klal, prat, klal. How do we decode that? Ke'ein ha-prat. What does ke'ein mean? With an ayin, similar to the prat. It's got to be similar to the prat. What was the prat? Gold. It's got to be similar to gold. We'll see what that means. However, now the Gemara tells us. What does it mean, similar to the prat? Ma haprat mafurish. Just as the detail, namely gold, is explicit in the Torah, that it's got to be made out of what? Shel mateches. What's mateches?
Metal.
Af kol, so too, all other clay shoris in the Beis HaMikdash have to be made shel mateches. Why don't we say that all other clay shoris have to be made out of gold? The answer is because klal uprat uklal is ke'ein haprat. It does not have to be identical. It does not have to be identical. If you would have a klal and then a prat, and that's it.
Then it has to be gold.
Then it's got to be only gold. But once it's a klal, uprat, uklal, then it has to be similar, but not identical. Now, wood is not similar in any way to gold, but metal is, because gold is a metal. So therefore, in the opinion of Rebbe, if I were to ask you, what do we learn from the Menorah? Forget the Abuva. The Abuva was all irrelevant. We're not even looking at the Abuva anymore. We're looking at the Menorah. What's the conclusion we arrive at when we look at the Psukim with regard to Menorah?
Klesharis can be made of metal.
Klesharis can be made out of metal, but not...
wood.
Not from wood. So if you want to know, opinion number one has now been explained. Why does Rebbe say that a klesharis made from wood is possible? The answer is because I learned from Menorah that it's got to be gold or at least similar to gold, namely metal, but not wood. However, fifth bottom line, Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda looks at this very differently. He doesn't view it as a klal uprat uklal. Rather, Dorish, how does he darshan? Ribuye umiute. He looks at this as a list of ribuyim and miutim, i.e., va'osiso menoiras, quote unquote, ribo. That's expansive.
Anything.
Then it says zohov tohoir miyet. He doesn't call it klal. He doesn't call it prat. He calls it a ribuy and a miut. Then miksha te'ase hamenoira, quote unquote, chaza v'ribo. Ah, okay. What do we do when we have a ribui, a miut, and a ribui? Unlike klal uprat uklal, where we say that the grand conclusion is it's got to be similar to the prat, ribui u miut u ribui gives us a different conclusion. You know what? Says the Gemara. Ribo u miut v'ribo. Ribo hakoil, everything is included, but we mustn't forget that there is a mute. That means everything is included, but there is an exception. Everything is included, says the Gemara. My Robbie. What's included? Robbie, Kol, Millie. All materials, including wood. But 1 second. You mustn't forget that there is, after all, a miut. So something has to be excluded. My miate. Miate shell. Cheres, earthenware. In other words, if you look at the... Remember we said yesterday, there's different ways of decoding the Torah. If you look at it as klal, prat, uklal, then the conclusion is ke'en haprat. If you look at it as ribui, miut, ribui, then you have an all-expansive ribui, but at least one exception. So therefore, it's an all-expansive rule that the menorah can be made out of gold, it's true, but kli shoris can be made out of any material, including wood. But there is a miut. Not absolutely everything. There's one material which it cannot be made of. That's the answer is, can't be made from klicheres earthenware. We'll see it. Rashi Rosh will explain. So therefore, says the Gemara in conclusion, we'll see there's a lengthy Rashi here, but says the Gemara therefore in conclusion, it turns out, according to this suggestion, that if you want to know what is the machlokes between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi as to whether you can or cannot have klei shoris from wood, it's nothing to do whether with the abuva, nothing to do with ikashira bepeh or bekli. It is all a local machlokes. How do we view the psukim of menorah? It is a klal or prat or klal, so it's got to be ke'ena prat, which means it's got to be at least metal, but not wood. Or is it a ribui, a miut, and a ribui, which means everything is included, besides for earthenware, but that therefore does include wood. Therefore, if we go back to our original discussion, Rabbi Yosef told us that there is a machlokes whether ikka shira is the kli, or ikka shira is the pear. Don't bring this as a source for that machlokes. Because the machlokes between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi as to whether you can or cannot have klei shoris from wood is nothing to do with klei shira, shir bepeh or bekli. It is based on how you learn the psukim of Menorah. Now, let's have a look. There's a lengthy Rashi. The very last narrow line. Ve'ibois ema ikka shira bepeh. This is the explanation. The Kula Alma might well be that all opinions agree that Ikka Shira Bepeh. And therefore, Veleka Lameila, you cannot therefore derive anything me above. Why not? Because if Ikka Shira is Bepeh, then the above is what? It's not a klei shoris at all. Why is it not a klei shoris? Because not a part of the avodah. What is the avodah? The singing, but not the musical instruments. What the musical instruments there for? Just to enhance the music, enhance the singing, to spice it up. And even if in theory you would tell me that the ikka is the kli, still afilu hachi, nonetheless, me abuv lo igomar. You still wouldn't be able to learn from abuv. Why? The ein donin, because you cannot derive efsha, mishei efsha. The abuv was impossible to be made out of any other material. Klishores is possible, and therefore there's no connection. So therefore we have all the reasons in the world to completely ignore for the moment abuv, either because abuv is not even a klei shoris, or even if it is a klei shoris, but that's exceptional because it's e'efsha. So what is the machloikas between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi about whether you can have klei shoris from wood? It's a different machloikas altogether. Vahacha says the Rashi, b'meilaf menorah, b'klali uprati, There was a different girsa mi menayra. Okay. Yesh shedoyrshin es ha-teira. There are those who darshan the teira beklaloprat. V'yesh, and there are others. Shedoyrshin oisa. How do they darshan the teira? B'midas, with the midah, with the method of ribui umiut, period. So that is the introduction. Some view the psukim as klalu prat, some view as ribui umiut. Hadarsh o bichlalu prat. Those who darshan through the prism using the mechanism of klalu prat. Mashmalei. Their understanding is prat habo achar klal. Whenever you have a detail that comes after the klal, pirushei shel klal. That is in fact the explanation of the klal. So if I say to Rabbi Yosef, please come into my house and take some food, like some oranges, the oranges is in fact an explanation of the klal. When I said a klal, I didn't mean a klal. I meant specifically oranges and nothing else. That's if I have merely two stages, a klal and a prat. Hilkoch, therefore, we get to the following rule. Klal uprat. When you have a klal and then a prat, ein bichlal elo masha beprat. The only thing that's really included in the klal is the prat. Nothing more, nothing less. Va'afilu dvorim hadoimin leprat. Even those items that are similar, I'm very sorry to tell you, ein nidoinin imoy. They are not judged together with it. Why? Lefi shehu pirushai. Because the prat is an absolute explanation. Mahu klal, what is the rule, hakolul lamalo, that was given to us above, and the answer is, zeh, it is this particular item, sha'ani oima locho achshov, that I am now telling you, v'lo yoisa, but nothing more. So I say, please take some food, some oranges. Oranges means, that is the explanation of the klal, but nothing else. Even if I take an apple, which is similar to an orange, no. That's not included, because we're not going with ke'ein haprat, but rather only the prat. Only the prat. However, v'chi, and when, osi, klal, she'ini, when the second klal comes along, acha haprat, ah, what's that doing there? So that slightly expands my horizon. Bo lo hoisif olov. It comes to add. Now what does it add? Everything? No. V'dayecho. What does dayecho mean? Right, from the word dayenu. Die. It's enough. Im toisif olov. If you will add. Es hadoimim loim. That which is similar. Not more. Don't push your luck. Hilkoch, and therefore we arrive at the grand conclusion. I atodon. You may not judge. Al yedei klal ha'acharein. By virtue of this last klal. Elo dvorim hadoimin leprat. So therefore I agree with you that what? That the second klal definitely does what? It definitely expands, it definitely adds, but it's not everything.
It has a limitation.
It's got a limitation, i.e., it adds that if it would have been just a klal uprat, then it would have been only the prat. Once you've got the second klal, then it's anything similar to the prat, but you've got to remain loyal. You've got to remain loyal to the prat. Elo dvorim hadoimin leprat. Shaloi nisrabu mitchilo. That was not initially expanded. What does that mean? It was not initially expanded. As long as I didn't have the second klal, then what would I say? Only the prat. So therefore, the second klal is definitely helping me. How much is it helping me? Not completely, but it's definitely adding more than I would have known had I not had the second klal. I.e., what's it adding for me? Doime leprat. Period. So therefore, with regard to the menorah, because we have a klal uprat uklal, the menorah is made out of zahav. If there wouldn't have been a second klal, then what would we said? Kli sharis have to be made from
gold,
and only gold. Once I have the second klal, that tells me anything which is similar to gold, i.e., metal, but not wood. That's opinion number one. Now we move on to opinion number two. Vahadoir shah, the one, the last word on the line. Vahadoir shah, the one, however, who darshans beribui umiut, not as a klaluprat, but rather ribui umiut, loy mashmalei. His mashmos, his understanding is not that prat habo achaklau is pirushoi shalaklau. He never viewed the prat as an explanation of the klau, denema, so that we would then say the ein bechlau elomasha beprat. The only thing that's possibly being referred to is the prat. No, 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 no. He doesn't look at it like that. Elo, rather, the way he views it is differently. He says, Mishum, the beklal kama. When I had that very first klal, nisrabo hakoil b'mashma, everything was included. So when you're reading the psukim slowly, when the Torah initially writes v'asiso menoras, what's included? Absolutely everything. Okay, now you have a prat or a miut that definitely pulls it back. But how much? So according to opinion number one, how much does it pull it back? All the way back. Just to a prat. Second opinion says, no, 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 no. I agree, it pulls it back. But not everything. Osi, first word on the line. Osi prata basra'o. Then comes along the prat afterwards, meaning after the initial klal. Lemi'ute mimashmu'use. It is a limitation. Lemi'ute, it's mamaid. It limits something from the understanding. Something. How much? We don't yet know. V'chi hodar. Then when it goes again, osi ribui achrina, when there is now another ribui bahade with it, ahani, that helps us, liribuye, to expand, kol mili. What does that mean, kol mili? As Rashi explains. De'elu dvarim shehem ke'en ha'prat. Those things that are similar to the prat, loy itzterich. I don't need a ribui for that because they were never excluded in the first place. Deloy imute loy mimiuta. Because they were never excluded from the miut. Remember, if you go with klalu prat, then what did that prat do? It was extremely limiting. To what?
Everything else.
To the prat and the prat only, not ke'ain. So what does the second klal do? The second klal now expands it. It's not only the prat, it's similar to the prat. But if you go with ribui umiut, then that miut never limited it all the way back down to prat only. Anything similar is also okay. So what's the second ribui doing? Don't tell me that the second ribui is there to expand that which is similar to the prat. That which was similar to the prat was never limited in the first place. So therefore, clearly, what's the second klal doing? All expansive, everything. Ah, absolutely everything? But you cannot ignore the miut in the middle. Fine, so we'll find one limitation. Says to Rashi in conclusion, V'hochi Omar Behedya, this is what we say absolutely clearly, Beperek Nigmar Adin, which is in Sanhedrin, Gabe Kol HaNiskolin Nitlin, there is halacha that anybody who is stoned, Nitlin, also has to be hanged afterwards. Deman, the Dorish, in that sugi there, whoever darshans ribui umiuti, mashmalei beribui umiut luchudei, beloi ribui acharoin, even without the very last ribui, how did he understand it? Kol hadoimin leprat. Meaning, if you go with a klalu prat rule, then what does the prat give you? The prat and nothing else. If you go with the ribui and the miut rule, then what did the prat give you? Anything which is doimah to the prat. Ah, but then what did the second ribui do? Made it even more expansive. I cannot forget the miut, says Rashi in conclusion, the last Rashi. So therefore, miut shall cheres. Da'al korochoch, what does it mean, da'al korochoch? Because you're forced to say, you've got to admit that what? With all the ribuim that I've got on the table, but you've got to admit that what? That there is a miut. Da'al korochoch miuta, certainly this miut, le miute osa, is definitely coming to exclude something. Yes, I've got a ribui, I've got another ribui, but you cannot say that it's absolutely 100%. If you want to say it's 95%, I'll take that. But there's definitely something which is excluded. So how do I know what to exclude? The answer is v'zehu horo'u, this is fitting. Lehismayit, to be excluded, yoyser min hakoil, more than any other material. Why more than any other material? Because earthenware is the least choshev material, followed by wood, followed by metal. So therefore, if something is being limited, what is the most likely that is being limited? The least choshev kli, i.e. klichers. I.e. Klicheres.
See, I would have said wood.
No, Klicheres is less choshev than wood. So therefore, what do we have now at the end of the day? We have Machlokes, Rabbi Yossi, and Rebbe. Can a Klicheres be made out of wood or not? Do you know what that Machlokes revolves about? At least the Gemara is suggesting. Nothing to do with whether Ikashira is Bepeh or Bekli. It's nothing to do with that. It all depends on Klalu Prato Klau or Ribui Miut or Ribui. So if I would ask you now, at this stage of the game, Ikka Shira B'Kli or Ikka Shira B'Peh, do we have anywhere that it says Mufurush, that that's the Machloikas? No. It was Rabbi Yosef's suggestion. If you remember, how did we get onto this in the first place? Because we're trying to work out whether the Chalil is Deicha Shabbos or not Deicha Shabbos. So he said, well, if Ikka Shira is B'Kli, then it's part of the Avodah, so it's Deicha Shabbos. If Ikka Shira is Bepeh, then it's not part of the Avodah, so it's not Deicha Shabbos. Okay, that's Rabbi Yosef's conjecture. That's his suggestion. But you don't know that there really is this Machlekes. Remember, we explained yesterday, Avraham, we mustn't make a mistake. Everybody agrees that there was musical instruments.
It's part of the Avodah.
The question is whether it's part of the Avodah. Whether the Ikka Shira is Bekli, in which case it's part of the Avodah, or the Ikka Shira is a band, the Kli was just. But say that might be a discussion, or it might not. Rabbi Yosef is telling you, yeah, it's a Machlaikas. And therefore that will explain to me the Machlaikas about whether the Chalil is Deicha Shabbos or not. But at the moment, it's purely conjecture. So this other machlokes that he discovered with regard to klisharis being made out of wood or not being made out of wood turned out to be inconclusive. because that's not necessarily dependent on whether Ikar Shira is Bepeh or Bekli. That could be dependent on something else absolutely, i.e. whether the Menorah is a Klal or Prat or Klal, or whether it's a Ribui or Miut or Ribui. Nothing to do with Ikar Shira Bepeh or Ikar Shira Bekli. So says the Gemara, Omer of Papa, Ketanoi. What does Ketanoi mean? It is indeed a machlekes tanoim, says Rashi. What is ikar shir bepeh oy bekli? We're now going to find another machlekes. We're going to find another machlekes, and maybe that will all be dependent on whether ikar shira is bekli or bepeh. What is that? A fascinating discussion. Tatanya. Or they amend it, you see the brackets and the parentheses at the side, to the Tanan, it's a Mishnah. Avdei Koyanim Hoyu. They were the slaves of Koyanim, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says they were the slaves of Koyanim. Who were? Says Rashi. Avdei Koyanim Hoyu. Mishnah B'Masechtos Erechim. This is a Mishnah in Erechim. Al oich zei klei shir. It's talking about those people who, not played, but rather, who held the musical instruments, b'shas shir shel korban, at the time of the shir shel korban, kaiminon, that's what's being referred to. That is a discussion. So who were these people who held the musical instruments? So opinion number one was, according to Rameya, they were avde koyanim. Opinion number two, Rabbi Yossi Oimer Mishpachas, they were from the family of Beis HaPagorim, one name of a family, or Mishpachas Beis Tzifraya, another name of a family. Where were they from? Ume Amum Hoyu. They were from a place called Amum. Shehoyu Masiim Lekuna, they would marry Kuhuna. What does that mean, they would marry Kuhuna? It says Rashi. Mishpachas Beis HaPagorim or Mishpachas Beis Tzifraya. Ze Shem HaMishpachis. This was the name of the families. Ume Amum Hoyu Ze Shem HaKoimum. That was the name of the place. What does it mean, Umasin LeKuhuna? Yisrael Meyuchasin Hoyu. They were Yisrael Meyuchas. What does it mean, Meyuchas? They could trace their lineage, absolutely authentic Jews. Shenasheihem almonois. Their wives were widows. Ubenoisom, and their daughters, reuyois linose lekoyanim. They could marry koyanim. Remember, not everybody can marry a koyim. You've got to make sure that the yichus is absolutely intact. So for this particular family, who we know, they could trace their lineage all the way back, and they were 100% authentic Jews. Their daughters married Kohenim. Fine. Third opinion. Rav Chanina ben Antignus Aymer, Levim Hoyu. Says Rashi, four words. Aval Yisraelin, Psulim Lekach. I'm sorry to tell you, certainly the Avodim, but even if it's other family, they might well be Meyuchas. But I'm sorry, they cannot be involved. Why not? Because you've got to be Levim. Aval Yisraelim Psulim. That's going to be the whole machlokes now. My love, isn't it true to say Baha Komiflegi? That is the machlokes. We have three opinions. Who used to hold the musical instruments? The Avodim, the Yisraelim, or the Levim? Demand the Omar Avodim Hoyu. The opinion that says they were slaves, i.e. Rabbi Remeya Kosova Ika Shira. The main Shira is Bepeh. Therefore, who holds the musical instruments? Totally irrelevant. Uman da Omar Levim Hoyu. But the opinion that says it's got to be the Levian, that was the third opinion, Kosova Ikashira Bakli. If the Ikashira is Bakli, oh, then it's avoided, it's got to be done by the Levian. So therefore, again, if we're looking for a source, is there really a discussion whether Ikka Shira is Bekli or Bepeh? Maybe this is the discussion. If you hold Ikka Shira is Bepeh, then quite frankly, it makes no difference to me who holds the instrument. It's not the Avoda anyway. But if the Ikka Shira is Bekli, then it's got to be the Levim. Very good. So for this is the Machlokes we'll be looking for all the time. Says the Gemara in conclusion, V'tisbara. Question mark. V'tisbara question mark. Is this logical? Do you think that's really the discussion? If that's the discussion, Rabbi Yossi Maikosova. What's Rabbi Yossi hold? Somewhere in the middle, Yisraelim. Can you please make up his mind? Is it Avoida? Or is it not Avoida? Ika Sova Ika Shira Bepeh. If he holds that the main Shira is Bepeh, it means that what? That it's not Avoida. Well then, Afilu Avodim Nami. So why does it have to be Yisraelim? Even Avodim would be okay. Ika Sova Ika Shira Bekli. Then Leviim in Yisraelim Loi. So Rabbi Yossi's opinion shows me quite clearly that this is not the discussion at all. We're not discussing whether Ikka Shira is Bekli or Bepeh. If it's Bekli, it's got to be Levim. If it's Bepeh, then it could be Avodim. So why on earth would Rabbi Yossi say something in the middle? It makes no sense. Therefore, says the Gemara, I'm sorry, you got it all wrong. Elo, rather, de Kule Alma Ikka Shira Bepeh. Could well be that everybody holds that Ikka Shira is Bepeh. Ubaha komiflagi. And do you know what the machlokes is? Not what you needed, but rather what was. Demar sovar hochi have a maisa. Umar sovar hochi have a maisa. What was the maisa? What was the story? In other words, he's not telling you, these three opinions over here are not discussing what you must have. If you're asking me a shaila, what must I have? What's the answer? If Ikka Shira is Bepeh?
Could be anybody.
Anybody. Do you know what they're debating? Not what you must have. What did they actually have? History. What was in the Beis Hamikdash? What did they need? They needed nothing. You could have Avodim as well because Ikka Shira. What was the Maisa? Was the Maisa, was the story that they had Levim? Was he Israelim? Was it Avon? Who was it? But therefore, again, you cannot extrapolate from over here a Machlokes whether Ikka Shira is Bekli or Bepeh. Why not? Because that's not what they're debating. They're not debating what you need, they're just debating what they had. Now, we'll have to see this next time, but there's an obvious question. So, why are they discussing this? Or just historical interest? Just historical interest? I say it was this, I say it was that, I say it was something else. Okay, very nice, very interesting. But why do we need to know? If there is a halachic ramification, this is what you must have in the Beis HaMikdash. So I understand, there's a raging debate. Do you have to have Avodim? Do you have to have Yisraelim? Can you have Levim? What must it be? But if you tell me, no, anything goes. Avodim is fine. Ikka Shira is Bepeh. Oh, so what's the machlokes? What do they actually have? Okay. So why must we know this? There's no halachic ramification. That's why the Gemara immediately asks, Lamai nafkimina. What's the difference? What, you teach me history lessons over here? So the answer is going to be, we'll just make a brief introduction, we'll see this fully next time. We know, as we said, there's Levim, Yisraelim, Avodim. Remember, we said that these Yisraelim were not any old Yisraelim. They were Miyuchasim. What does Miyuchasim mean? They could trace their lineage. Which means, if ever you would go into the Beis HaMikdash and see people holding the musical instruments, according to that opinion, you'd know one thing for certain. That what? That these people are Miyuchasim. If you follow the opinion that the only people to hold the musical instruments were Levim, then you could be rest assured that if you walk into the Beis HaMikdash and you see somebody holding the musical instrument, he must be a Levi, so you can give him your Maaser Rishon. That's the halachic ramification. It's not just of historical interest. What can you conclude from seeing people who held the musical instruments? According to opinion number one, who says they were avodim, what can you conclude? Absolutely nothing, because he says anything goes. So who are these people? I have no idea. Definitely don't give them your Maaser Rishon, and in fact, definitely don't marry them, because we've got no proof who they are. If you hold the middle opinion, well, don't give them your Maaser Rishon, but you can be rest assured they're miyuchasim. If you hold the third opinion, not only are they miyuchasim, but they're also levim, you can give your Maaser Rishon as well. Therefore, if you want to know why we're so busy debating who was playing the musical instruments, it's not just historical interest. It's of enormous halachic consequence. Can you give these people your Maaser? Can you give these people, can you marry them? Can you not marry? We need to know who they are. So we'll see this Mitzvah Hashem in greater detail next time on Thursday, all being well. Huh?
It says in the Nora, it has a miksha.
Miksha, yeah, one piece.
Oh.
Good friend.